This is the Climb to Space.
Hello and welcome to the Decline to State Internet Radio Stream, the show in which we get together to discuss the ups and downs of life outside the Matrix. Decline to State is proud to bring you one of the surprisingly few netcasts in which the hosts do not support acts of aggression against you. You can find us at the web at declinefm.com, where you'll find a link to the live chat. The live chat is a great way to bring up points of discussion on a live show, and we're even going to reward your participation by entering you in a raffle to win a free book. After some thoughtful deliberation, we're going to hold off on taking calls so we can best focus our efforts, and we have a few additional changes to the format, but we'll get to that in a minute. For a more leisurely but less interactive experience, plug in Decline to State on iTunes, and if there's a topic you want to hear discussed in a later show, or if you just have something cool you feel like sharing, please submit to r/declinetostate@reddit.com. Links to both our live stream and archive episodes can be found at both declinefm.com and r/declinetostate on Reddit. And I am Ronald McPaul, your beacon of freedom in the heart of the Silicon Valley, and I'm joined by my handsome co-casters, and I will let them go around the horn and introduce themselves.
Hi guys, this is Eternal. Welcome to the show.
This is Roto. How you doing, guys?
Doing very well. Go ahead, Eternal.
Yeah, we're joined today by the lovely and handsome Calamane, the evil twin of Stefan Molyneux.
And, Bizarro Molyneux.
Yeah, pretty much. And we're going to have a great show talking about some really interesting stuff for everyone. I just wanted to mention, before we get into the juicy content, some of the changes we have. So what we're doing now is, rather than taking calls during the show, we'll still take some listener input through IRC, but we're going to have a one-hour cast today, and then we're going to have an after show where we can take your calls and talk about whatever you guys want on the show. So just stick around after the show ends, and we can have a good, relaxed time.
Bombard us with hate mail.
Yeah, I wanted to mention the book raffle that we have going on. So if you want to participate in the show, either during the after show or by participating by asking some questions through IRC, if we decide to take your questions, if we decide to get you on the air, you'll be entered in for the book raffle. And we do have any book that you want from Walter Block from way back when we did the interview with him as an available option for whoever wins the raffle. And we'll do that at the beginning of the after show today. All right. So, Cal, welcome to the show.
Thank you for the invitation. this is awesome. I was talking to you guys earlier. I really love what you guys are doing here. Just with the whole, I guess, illuminating the matrix, showing people the matrix. So again, thank you so much for this opportunity. I can't wait to start this, this episode.
Sorry. I have one question.
You can go ahead. Go for it.
Sorry about that. Cal, I have one question for you, and this is the question that I always ask every single one of our guests. Do you decline to state?
Do I decline to state? Do I decline violence in my life? You know, I guess that, the question I ask people, I guess, in that same kind of way is, violence ends with me. Can you say the same? Can you draw that moral line? And can you ask your friends that same question? Can you ask strangers that same question? This whole thing about anarchism and volunteers and all that stuff. I mean, labels are important and all that stuff, but just to kind of, to say that you're an anarchist and voluntarist is really just to reclaim back your humanity. We're all born into the matrix, as you guys kind of start off. We're born free, we're born anarchists. We're not born as slaves. We're just forced into serfdom, forced into these tax farms, forced into the matrix.
That's so true. And I think that, you know, something we talk about frequently on the show, just to kind of play off that, is how both the state through education, public schooling and such, and also through the general cultural values passed down through parenting, basically can take a kid that can go either way and pull him into the matrix, and then this perpetuates itself, and it's a very hard cycle to break out of. So I wanted to ask you quickly how you became unplugged from the matrix. You know, what was, I guess, the path that you took to move away from the statist view of things into more of the volunteerist paradigm?
Okay, so look at the status and define as really active status is pretty much anyone who uses violence to solve problems, you know, is a status. I mean, the state only knows how to solve a problem through one way, and that's violence. You know, it's funded through more violence, right? Taxes. So you look at the statism that it's a tool of violence. It only knows how to solve problems through violence. And the opposite of that, of course, is anarchism. It's the non-aggression principle. It's the free market. It's non-coercive. It's voluntary. I guess in my life, is trying to do the right thing. I guess I mostly just kind of follow more of a Kantian, Bushido kind of way of outlook at things. I guess I didn't really find this stuff on my own, like philosophy and all that stuff. I didn't find any of this stuff on my own. It really kind of took a lot of searching, did really take a lot of some people throughout my life, you know, giving me some philosophy books here and there and reading through them. But really, it didn't really start for me until, I would say, maybe a year and a half ago, not that long ago.
Okay. So, and as you mentioned too, we're all kind of born to be anarchists. We're kind of born with the idea that initiating violence is bad, but it seems to get subverted pretty quickly. So, you know, like you said recently, I think this goes, you know, for all of us here on Decline to State, you know, we had a fairly recent, you know, some more recent than others, but conversion out of it, or conversion into voluntarism. And it sounds like you kind of found the community first, and then a lot of the ideas are, and like the philosophical ideas later.
Right.
Have you been exposed to some of the economic views and the philosophical views? I know from my point of view, I kind of learned about economics and then kind of fell into it that way. And then I'm still learning about the philosophy and those concepts afterwards. These people are making me better at arguing and debating, maybe right, more than right, I right. wanted to. Yeah, have you run into similar benefits?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how it all started for me. Mostly really trying to answer the question for myself. This whole thing that I kind of grew up with, I grew up, I guess, more of a Hobbes kind of point of view in the beginning. I grew up that, you know, to see the worst in people, couldn't trust people. You know, people are always up to something, you know, to be mean to them before they're mean to you. You know, my defenses were always up. Always carried a knife with me around. Didn't have many friends or rarely any. You know, as the years go on, maybe I'll meet one nice person and, you know, every few years.
You grew up pretty far from where you are now, right?
Yeah. I grew up in Bolivia when I was a kid. I came here when I was 7 and learned this language.
Yeah, you and Reto, I don't know how you guys do it, constantly communicating in a second language. Reto
nosotros
from...
solamente hablamos con las señoritas.
Ah, sí, claro, ¿no? But no, it's not like that. I mean, the thing is, so when I came here, I guess coming from a different culture, coming from a different place, that violence was something I just saw as something normal. Something was just the way that it was just done. And not that there wasn't any violence here in this country, only that there was... It was well hidden. It wasn't as obvious. There's different forms of violence that I saw, but starting seeing, I guess, a little bit of some of the stuff here in this country that didn't make sense. A lot of cultural stuff didn't really make sense for me. I was never a Christian. A lot of different things, I guess, starting to throw at me, but I guess at a late age, I guess when I'm 7, when it's kind of too late to kind of put that in a child in a way, especially one that's not really trustworthy of most adults to begin with. But I would say that for me, it didn't really start until I moved to Richmond. After I got out of the military, I wanted to finish college. I wanted to finish my degree, and VCU had, I guess, the stuff I was looking for. The Richmond city itself, it was like my post-apocalyptic dream city come true. There's a lot of places to explore here. There's a lot of places to find, lost cemeteries, lost Renaissance parks, Belle Isle, a lot of different places. It wasn't until really, I guess, coming here to Richmond then again, I found that community. And it wasn't just one person. It was a multitude of different people, a lot of people, that a community I've never had before growing up that were really nice, and more than one. And they kept, you know, adding more and more. And I started having friends. You know, the first friend on my Facebook was my mother. I think that was like 3 years ago. And then that's sort of putting me on this course to try to figure, you know, why that is. How is that possible? You know, where was I misled? And then on that quest is when I came across Stefan Molyneux, actually, trying to make sense of this this world, I guess.
So you really are a spawn of Molyneux.
A fan of Molyneux?
A spawn of Molyneux.
Well,
he created you. In a sense. I can claim that, too.
that I was in my allegory of the state, allegory in the cave, and I could see the light. I could see that ledge. I'm almost there. I'd say that he lent me that hand up that ledge. I would say that. Now, we can only show each other the door. You know, we can't force anyone to take the red pill.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. And I think that's true for him with a lot of people in the Reddit community, the community that we spawned out of. There's a lot of people where it seemed like they're, and I'm not sure if we brought this up with him when he was on with us, but it seems like there's always just the right Molyneux video to push somebody over the edge. You know, there's all these, it gets shot around as form of links, but it's just like, okay, I think this person just needs this to get out of their stupor. And so you link it to him and cross your fingers.
To be honest, I completely agree. I am also... Molyneux fan, Steph fan. I am not going to use the word that I used when I interviewed him because he is going to rage again. No. Actually, he had a great point to make about that. I was already an atheist when I got a chance to see one of his videos, and the video just blew my mind. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I have to sit down and rethink everything. And I sat down, I rethought everything, and then I started listening to more of his stuff. And pretty shortly, after a few weeks, I was an anarcho-capitalist. There was no way. There was absolutely no way I could have transitioned without somebody to push me, and that was Steph.
How long did it take you? 3 weeks, you said?
2 or 3 weeks.
Nice, yeah. Nice.
But not to brag or anything.
No. Isn't that great? If only it could be that fast. To see the matrix, to see reality, to see truth, to unplug.
Well, the thing is, the transition is very long because transitioning from whatever you were before to, a voluntarist takes several steps. That the first step took me 3 weeks. And then I was so excited about, voluntarism that I went out on Reddit and I started talking to people about voluntarism. And they insulted me and tried to shame me and tried to manipulate me. And I was like,
Cal, what do you mean? What he means by this, when he goes out on Reddit and people try to shame him, it means that he actively went out and tried to shame everyone else on Reddit.
Look how much I know. I'm outside of the matrix. No.
I say that jokingly.
I'm teasing too.
Yeah, no, we understand. He's always pretty active. He's posting stuff up recently, but. You know, he's out there, I'm gonna brag about him because I can. You know, he's out there practicing his trade and introducing people to ideas. And Rutta, one of the posts on Reddit that maybe people listening have even read themselves was like, I think you might have hit the character limit. Like, you had some guy out of the blue and he didn't really understand kind of the implications of taxation, and you gave him a history of like all of human history and what taxation is. It was pretty great.
Oh, you're talking the human predation post, right?
Absolutely. That's a
I love to read that. I haven't really had much a chance to go on Reddit lately. I'm more of a 4chaner, I guess, if anything.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough.
We got a few of those on our cast. I guess I used to be one, but I didn't. I don't know. It's a dark time in my life.
I used to visit 4chan, but I stopped since I came to the U.S. because people post images of little kids there, and in Ecuador it doesn't matter that you have him on your computer because you just randomly open the page and hey, oh my God, this is a picture of kiddie porn, right? And here in the US it's really important, right?
So the difference with 4chan and all this stuff is that they like Fight Club, even Fight Club has rules, right? 4chan has rules too, and one of them is none of that bullshit. You can say anything you want, you have a freedom to say anything you want, except you can't post any of that kiddie porn shit. That's really about it. Sometimes you'll get banned for just kind of funny stuff, but really, they have the rules too. They have their sense of, ethics in that sense.
I've noticed that too. Today's actually my first week there on 4chan. I'm what you call, a new fag. I'm having trouble triforcing, and I think that's a rite of passage. but yeah, as far as I know, the first two rules, as you were alluding to, weren't quite, we do not talk about 4chan, but they were, like you said, you got to be, I think, the legal age, and you can't post, stuff that's going to get us in major trouble.
Right. And you'll find that, it's not going to be long before they're threatened too. It's going to be long before SIPA and POPA and all that other, 4 3-letter acronyms come back again like a Hydra and threaten the internet again. And we all have something to lose here. We all have something to gain from this too. You know, this affects all kinds of communities. The statism, you know, from internet communities and subcultures and alternative cultures. Everyone has something to lose from this, and already are losing, you know, because of this.
We are. It's very unfortunate, and we are. And that's the nature of statism. The nature of the people who believe in statism is to try and meddle in other people's affairs so that they can feel better about them imposing their ideas and their preferences on others, violently, of course.
And I think to add to that, I mean, the ideas of statism are such that we're going to take our fears and our values and we're going to project them onto everybody else and force everybody else to conform to them so that we can feel better. So that's you see that a lot with the justifications for things like SIPA CISPA, SOPA, all that stuff, where you'll have, you know, the politicians go on the stage and they make this big spiel about we have to stop terrorists or kiddie porn or something like that. And then what ends up happening is people look at that and they say, oh man, I'm afraid of these things. Go get them. And it's a manipulation of people's fears, and it's using these fears to project, regulations upon innocent people, nonviolent people who don't need the behavior regulated and looked into by the government.
I agree. You know what? What angered me the most when I converted, when I became a voluntarist, was the pervasive web of lies, fabrications, crazy, out of touch with reality interpretations of facts. It really, really grated me. And now I understand that people, when they replay back this bullshit that they have been taught, they're just acting out what they have been told to do, being pre-programmed in one way, so to speak, right? They have been pre-programmed to defend against reality by putting their heads into the sand and ignoring what you have to say. And it's really frustrating when you're trying to talk to somebody about voluntarism that they are prepared to completely ignore your ideas and assault, insult, or verbally abuse you to get you to stop.
I don't understand where that stuff is coming from, you know, but at the same time, you know, ideas so good they have to be mandatory sort of stuff. But at the same time, I mean, how else do you share these ideas with other people? You know, you either through persuasion, not through reason, or you either do it, you know, through your fists, through violence, right? There's really only two ways to share ideas. You either advocate for violence to push your ideas onto other people, or, you know, if it's a good idea for a business venture or anything like that, you know, hey, you know, I'll invest in you, I'll put some money together, you know, I'll join you, you know, hey, I want to create my small business, I want to go out to the movies, you know, good ideas so you don't have to coerce people. You know, I feel like a lot of this comes down to way we communicate each other. And you made a good point earlier in the way that the way that people kind of seem pre-programmed for this sort of stuff, and that kind of seems, well, you know, putting the culture. But I don't know. I can't personally feel angry at people who don't understand sort of this sort of stuff. I mean, after the fact, sure. After you tell them everything, after you show them all the facts, after you have, like, I don't know, 3 months of a discussion about the truth, and you're still holding that pill, and eventually you have to say, listen, I can't be friends, you know, with the statist that I, you know, no more than I can be friends with someone who's racist. I can no longer call you friend, right? Maybe someday if you let go, you know, if you have more questions, sir, let's talk, you know? But eventually you're going to have to draw that line. But I find that for me personally, haven't got there. Maybe with two people sort of thing. But for the most part, I mean, my mother's an anarchist. My family's are anarchists. My best friends are anarchists.
Oh, you're lucky. Your mom's an anarchist. That's something that we could all claim.
I took a 10-minute conversation just to, I mean, before about this stuff, it's really about but you talk about ideas to other people, and not in the, it falls onto the nonviolence communication. A lot of stuff I'm still learning. I just got a friend of mine just introduced that stuff to me, actually, I think 2 weeks ago, and a lot of good stuff in there, but mostly about, in the same way you don't yell at children if they don't understand, if they make a mistake or they're having trouble trying to understand where you're coming from, you don't mock them, you don't insult them, you don't put them down, you don't you know, verbally abuse them because they don't understand. And that same principle applies to adults.
And Cal, you're referring to a book called Nonviolent Communication, right?
No, just talking about, I don't know if there's a book, but I know, like, there's this idea, right? This nonviolent communication idea, or these principles.
Oh, something you've been discussing with a friend.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to give you, you know, a compliment from stuff we've, you know, seen of yours, and obviously we wanted to have you on the show. You have a pretty, you know, persuasive style. You use a lot of, you know, expression and feelings. I think, you know, you can. I think it's a good thing, right, to get people to weigh different emotions and the implications of stuff. I'm curious, how would you say you pick some of that stuff up? Have you ever been into like acting or a similar practice?
No. I always wanted to do theater, I guess, in high school, but I guess the same thing for a lot of different reasons. Felt too old or something like that. It was too late, and a lot of these people do this when they're children, sports and all that stuff. I did play soccer for maybe a few weeks, covered left bench, but that was about it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It can kind of feel like you missed out for a lot of stuff, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I played some sports, but you know, missed the acting boat, perhaps.
left bench is my favorite position to play. That's post hoc justification because I played it all the time too.
Yeah, they only let you play right when they already, you know, scored the winning goal. You know, they have, you know, 10 minutes left. All right, you can go play now. You know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, we're down by 50, coach. Can I go play? Yeah, sure. Go out there. You know, make your mom proud.
Yeah, he did it. He played. Yeah.
So perhaps you're kind of, I guess maybe a lot of the communication stuff comes natural. Or also, I know too, Roto's from Latin America. That's very, there's a lot more kind of feel in terms of how people communicate down there. I only say that because I spent a semester down in Central America studying in Costa Rica, so it was really fun. Continuing that thread, you know, keeping in mind this idea of spreading the message, we've written, and obviously us at Decline to State would love to spread it. You know, as we're not trying to talk about the state all the time, but if you could give, you know, one persuasive power, you could just magically throw it on to everybody in the volunteers community, because you said, you know, we have, there's persuasion and there's violence, and obviously I think you tend towards the persuasive kind as we do.
Yeah.
But is there any like persuasive technique or power or something you would hope people to kind of exhibit into kind of when they spread the message, you could just kind of magically spread that?
All right, well, I don't know where to begin. Again, with myself and my past history, I mean, I didn't speak a lick of English when I came here. I've had a speech therapist, you know, for years. There's still some words that I can't even say still. But mostly, I guess a lot of the videos, a lot of the things I see, a lot of people out there that talk about these things seem to talk about coming from like a place of stress. You know, you're an anarchist. It's not a political position. So, you know, politics is supposed to be stressful, you know. Anarchism should just, you know, you should already be living free. It shouldn't really bother you as much, you know. The only thing you do now with philosophy, again, is you share that with other people, like a good wine, like a meal. And in the same way, again, that you don't mock children, you don't do that to adults. You don't mock them because they don't understand. And just keep an open mind, keep inviting them for questions. You know, you're not supposed to convince them right away. That's not what I do. You know, I've had people, you know, on day one say, you know, they're an anarchist, you know, or in the first week, they say, you know, this makes a lot of sense. And that's, you know, how easy sometimes this can happen. But it's not going to happen if you are going to go in there with the mindset thinking, I'm going to convince this person, you know, in the next 30 minutes. It's not going to work. What
yeah,
you want to do.
Know what you mean. Yeah.
You just want to plant seeds. That's the only thing you want to. Well, I mean, if it works, it works. You know, if you plant a tree right away, it just so happens. And that's awesome. That's beautiful. But really, the idea is just to start planting the seeds. Plant those seeds, read and plant those seeds of philosophy into people's minds and encourage them to ask more questions, you know. We have freedom gatherings at the Maplewood Anarchy Garden, so to keep having these things monthly, to keep inviting new people in, to keep inviting new people who are curious about these ideas, and to start answering these ideas too. Make it educational, make it fun, and we have an after party afterwards.
That's a great idea. I heard this thing talked about on Free Talk Live. It's like advertised Liberty on the Rocks is what it's called. Mm-hmm. And obviously about trying something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even have to be a big event. It could just be like a movie viewing. You know, let's watch The Matrix and have like a discussion afterwards. You know, different ways to all right, so the way I look at this this package, right, or package, or this anarcho-capitalism, the package, the product is freedom, right? How do you market that product? How do you market that message, right?
Well,
you look at it, so go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt you, but what it seems to me that one of the tactics that you use that is pretty effective is to generate a community around it. Not just, hey, I have something to sell you and you should buy it. But hey, there's this bunch of people here that believe the same way, and we're all great people and we're nice and we are welcoming you to our community. Join us. That changes, it's a game changer. That's fucking great, man.
Thank you. Yeah, and I mean that's change starts with ourselves first, right? Like we're all talking about how we came into volunteerism, how we all got out of the matrix. We all have a story, but you know that didn't start anywhere out of the out of thin air. It started with changing our ideas, changing our what we believe in, the way we view the world. It starts with ourselves, and then it starts at home, and then it starts with your community. It doesn't start overseas. It doesn't start in a White House in D.C. It doesn't start with laws and guns, with threats. It starts with ourselves first, at home, in our community. I mean, you put that spotlight of freedom out there, and people will see that spotlight of freedom. People will want to copy that spotlight. People want to also be free. You know? And that's that's the best way to kind of spread this message. Best way to spread freedom. You know, not forcefully, not in a way that mocks people again, but in a more inviting way. Now, more of a
definitely. I think that the lead by example thing is something we all need to embrace. Definitely something that I know I've struggled with this a little bit, especially when I was just getting into the movement. Had just read Atlas Shrugged, and I was like, oh, I'm so angry. State's so bad. and we all kind of return to that. I call it like the anarchist dark place. Where this is something that on the show we try to avoid consciously is the state is something which it's violent, it's very base, it detracts from having from all of us having better quality lives, and it's very easy to get angry, and it's very easy to appear very frustrated and negative about the state, and when you go out there and you're spreading the message, it's very difficult to avoid being in this kind of the angsty anarchist kind of paradigm where you're putting off this aura of, oh man, everything the government touches, it just turns to shit. This is so off. Look at what you guys have done. You wake up, sheeple, that kind of thing. Whereas I think what's more persuasive is that kind of lead from example thing where we go out and we say, hey, I'm an anarchist. I'm a volunteerist. I reject the use of violence as a solution to solve social problems. And instead, I embrace the ideas of voluntary interaction between people. And look at me. I have built up, a good life for myself. I have good relationships with my family and friends. I have built up this kind of, as Stefan Molyneux likes to put it, this personal anarchy around me. And it's improved my quality of life. And you can have that too. You can be part of this community too.
Well, what you're describing is what I would call the second stage after seeing the light. I remember vividly living it hardcore in 2007. I still have flashbacks. So that's how bad it is. But yeah.
Flashbacks from your conversion?
Oh, flashbacks from the stage two of my conversion, where I would get angry at people because they would refuse to see the light, and they would refuse to understand that the state is malevolent, right? And they would see it as, I didn't understand what is it that was going on in their minds, and therefore I couldn't relate to them in an effective way. And that was bad. That was very bad. And I still have flashbacks from that, right? So I have a question for you, Cal. Tell me something. I remember seeing you for the first time in the video that you posted on YouTube when you burned your military uniform. And it was a very, very powerful video because it was like seeing somebody come out of their shell and become a completely different entity, an entity based on peace, an entity that fundamentally lives for cooperation and voluntary relationships. And that was great. What I'd like to know is, where did the inspiration come from? I mean, who did somebody suggest this to you? Did this come to you? Somebody was filming the video with you, I think. What happened that made you decide, hey, I need to do the symbolic act. I'm going to do this. And can you tell us a little bit more about your involvement in the military?
Yeah. Well, I guess, look, if it was just me, if it was just for myself, if I didn't have friends, if I didn't find people that I do love and care for, if I didn't find that community in here in Richmond, it would just continue to have just been me. I'd have no problem taking care of myself, you know, when that post-apocalypse comes, when that, you know, financial market comes crashing down. It's like, yeah, I know how to take care of myself. I have no problem doing that. But eventually, just the more people I started to care for here, the more people I started loving here, and I realized it's not really about me anymore, right? It's kind of in the same way that I guess if you're the only person who knows how to perform the Heimlich maneuver, and there's someone choking at a restaurant, you know, what do? You know, do you look the other way? Do you continue eating your meal? You know, or, you know, because people are going to remember those that could have done something but couldn't, but didn't. They're going to remember the people who came first. They'll forget those who came last. And looking at my brothers and my sister, and, you know, my brother right now is a freshman at University of New Hampshire now, and I can't fathom the day that will come, you know, if he experiments with marijuana, he experiments with the plant, and he becomes dehumanized, kidnapped, and caged. And I have my sister, I have friends, you know, when I'm telling people don't join the military, but in my room, I have my uniform hanging up, I have my beret hanging up, you know. I felt a bit hypocritical. I always had this thing to never want to be a hypocrite. I always wanted to do the right thing, and I can't really stomach, hypocrisy, in my personal life. And I guess coming to that realization and all of this stuff kind of building up for a lot of different reasons, I realized I kind of have to let all of that go. Let go of the idea that violence would set us free, let go of my green costume, and just let go. Start all over. Start anew. And
It really is a beautiful thing, and I think that, you know, the thing that's captured me so much about what you just said is that, in a way, you're doing this because you care about other people. It's not for you, it's for everybody else, so they can see, you know, you want them to, you know, come to a better place. You want this world to be better for everybody, and it's kind of a selfless thing. You know, often we, as libertarians or you know, free thinkers and volunteers, we get branded as people that don't care about the rest of the world, and that's completely not true. I mean, why else do we try to spread the ideas of volunteerism? Why do we plan to plant these seeds in people's heads if not to make their lives better? I mean, so we're not selfish people at all. We're not, you know, just looking out for ourselves. We're trying to make this world a better place on the whole.
Yeah. Now it's more of a, I'm an older brother. I have two brothers and a sister. So I've got it's just this, I guess, caring mentality sort of stuff. And I realize, you know, if I'm right now, if I feel like the only person who can do this, like, fuck it, I kind of have to, right? If no one else is doing it, no, someone has to do it. And eventually I found out that I wasn't alone. Eventually I found out that it wasn't just me. You know, my girlfriend, my friend Rachel, you know, they're the first people. And going out there talking to people after my mother became an anarchist, my family and some of my friends, like, fuck it, you know, if this communicating these ideas and, you know, using this method of rhetoric can work, you know, what's going to happen if I'm kind of curious, you know, what if I use it on strangers, people I've never met before, people I don't have that rapport or close connection or relationship with. And so it's like, fuck it, you know, I've got nothing to lose. I've got nothing to lose. You know, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You know, all right, so I can say I gave it my best shot. I can say at least I tried. You know, apparently humanity is not ready for it. You know, all right, you know, finally, if someone asks me that question, you know, humanity is not ready for any of this stuff. It's like, yeah, I agree. You know, every single person who went out there and talked to you told me to fuck off, and that was that, right? But the more and more I realized that this can happen, that this has already happened, not as a majority sense yet, but in my own life, in my own community, it's already there. You know, why not help spread that out there too?
Indeed. I mean, I wanted to ask, because you talked about, you know, you went out and you found other people that were like-minded, and you said you were at VCU, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, did you find was there a community there of people that were liberty-oriented, voluntarist-oriented, wanted to get away from the, you know, use of violence in general? Did you find people that were like-minded at VCU?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, so that's what I was going out there to see, if there are other people, to see if there are other strangers. I have my sign that says, ask me how voting is immoral. A sign is mostly a hook. That's mostly to invite the question. You know, the defense is lower when you invite someone to that question. I'm not coming at you. I'm not yelling at you. I'm not cursing you out. I'm not in your face. I'm on the side. I'm on a brick wall. I'm sitting there reading, studying in between my classes with my little sign. And people come up there with their defenses down and just out of curiosity or out of humor. And we can just start having these discussions, start talking about these things.
That's brilliant.
And from there alone, it just started to build up. From there alone, I started to meet my new friends that I feel like I've known for years now. From there alone, I started meeting, I guess, the new members to the X-Men team here, to the anarchist team. And just it's been growing from there. I don't know if at the rate of this, that the way that this has been growing, I mean, we're looking at having maybe, you know, probably ready to have our own Freedom Festival next year here in Richmond.
I'll be there if you have it.
I mean, it's already spread. So that's eventually people were asking me, it's like, do you have a website for this idea and stuff like that? You know, I didn't at the time. And more people, I guess the crowd started to form and more people kind of curious about this stuff. And I said, well, fuck it, you know, gotta make the website. There's a market demand. And so I created the Liberate RVA website. RVA stands for Richmond, Virginia. So it's liberaterva.com, and just put it all together and just put a lot of this stuff out there just spreading that movement in my community, my freedom movement, a nonviolent movement, a philosophical, cultural, and most importantly, a student revolution. You know, we should always continue to be students. We should always continue to read and learn. We should never stagnate. You know, we're not looking for utopia. Utopia implies stagnation, implies... I want there to always be problems. I want there to always be ways so we can make things better, refine things. But we can't get there through violence, and no one can do this alone. You know, that's why it's not called calmolna.com. It's Liberate RVA. And realizing that we need a community to do this. We need more people to do this. It's not just about me anymore. Again, like I was mentioning earlier.
Saying you don't have that domain name reserved?
I do. Yeah, I already do. Yeah, you can check it out okay. Right now. LiberateRVA.com.
Okay, I was gonna go proactively buy it so I could sell it to you for a lot of money later.
Too late. I heard about that, about a police site that was recently on the, I guess, on crack.com, where they forgot to renew their domain name, and this guy who got a ticket from them just on that message on their website and just bought the domain name from them, and now they no longer have a police website.
That's so great.
I know.
that is some advanced agorism right there,
isn't it? Right,
that's some higher level stuff,
right? So yeah, it's been kind of growing from there. Now, and I've met new friends. So I've yet, some people I've yet to meet. Yeah. Some people already met, like, Eric Hoster. He started the Newcastle, the Liberate Newcastle movement in Delaware. There's, Javier Simbia, and who's doing the Liberate Rochester in New York. There's, Jason Romano in Liberate Raleigh. There's, Ashley Sinogles in Liberate Bemidji in Minnesota. And now, recently there's, Ben Lowry, who's doing, Liberate Bristol. So it's already spread. I can't even stop this if I wanted to.
There are no libertarians in the UK. Okay, maybe there's like three, but all the kids on Reddit are always complaining about how they're so low, and it's kind of unfortunate. I mean,
there was a post by the guy from Denmark today. He was like, I think I'm the only libertarian in the country. This is state as hell. This is the worst place in the universe. I feel so alone. They're like, it's okay.
To use the 4chanism, it feels bad, man.
It does feel bad, man. Yeah. It's gotten, you're right, it's become kind of this unstoppable force, in the sense that, yeah, I can't keep up with all the things that people are doing out there. I can't keep up with all the individuals that are going out there starting their small groups and advancing the discussion. And that to me speaks of something that is truly organic, that is truly a shift among, you know, it's a cultural shift among the way people are approaching the ideas of, you know, interaction, social interaction, and government in general. In that, you know, it's a very bottom up, it's a bottom up thing. It's not like one person goes out there and starts spouting this huge message, and everybody kind of jumps on the bandwagon and follows them. We saw that a little bit with Ron Paul, but I think that the movement itself didn't really start with him. Rather, he just kind of there's a word for it, made cohesive the voice that was already there.
Right. Yeah, I was never a Ron Paul fan. I was really, I guess for me, just as soon as, I guess I was more of a socialist, and then at the time before I moved here to Richmond, and eventually looking for these answers and all this stuff, you know, I came across, you know, universally preferable behavior, the argument for morality, which made my way of arguing a lot easier. And just kind of, you know, reading more about this stuff from Free Domain Radio and listening to the podcast. And it's like, you know, all of this stuff kind of makes fucking sense. All this stuff is kind of right. And I mean, from there, I heard about Ron Paul and this Libertarian Party. And but I was, I don't know, I was already sold on this stuff. Or all this stuff already made sense. It's like there's no need for, I don't know, it's the leaders we need today, though, right, are role models, not politicians. No, not the ones that bribes people to follow, not the ones that forces people to follow, but the people who lead by the virtues. Not a philosopher king. You know, how about a philosopher, you know, a community built of philosophers?
Exactly. And I think it speaks to the way the movement is going, in that we have a bunch of people trying to lead by example and trying to create their own little communities of voluntarism around them. And these are going hundreds, probably hundreds of them across the nation. And and of course, the really big one in New Hampshire called the Free State Project, which has several thousand people involved and many, many more thousands pledged to join them. And when we look at that, I think it's hard to say that this movement can be co-opted, can be redirected, can be changed. I think what we saw is when we enter the realm of politics, when we enter the realm of the state, and you get things like, and this is as close to politics as I really want to talk today, is when you get things like the Ron Paul movement, you get a bunch of people jumping on board and trying to co-opt the message for their own personal gain. They're trying to manipulate. You get guys like Jesse Benton who just are jumping on board to ride the gravy train and make off with hundreds of thousands of dollars. And that's really what politics is about. It's about personal selfish gain at the expense of other people. And I got mine. Sucks to be you guys. And that's right. Completely the antithesis of what we stand for. So we have no reason to be involved with politics, especially at the national level. I mean, especially when you talk about us, you know, being a really tiny voice amongst millions and millions of people, you know, shouting, give me, give me, give me. We're not going to do anything. We need to start small and build up from the ground up.
Agreed.
Planting those seeds. Politics will never set us free.
Well, if I may share something with you guys that I don't think I've shared before, part of the reason that I could see everything clicking into my mind in very few days when I first was exposed to the ideas of voluntarism by Stéphane Molyneux is the fact that I had already read a very, very, very interesting free book called The Authoritarians. You can actually download the book at theauthoritarians.com. And it's written by this psychologist or psychiatrist, I forget, from the University of Manitoba. That
probably
explains,
a psychologist.
Probably, yeah.
Psychiatrists are the ones that prescribe drugs. Just I think they're MDs. But I'll, yeah, go on.
Yeah. Psycho guy. Actually, very, very, very brilliant guy. And this guy spoke about a trait that they had discovered using mathematical regression on various psychological tests that had been administered to thousands upon thousands of people. And it's a cluster of personality traits that he calls authoritarianism. And there's another one that is closely related that is called, not authoritarianism, but actually, and this is pretty interesting, it's called social dominance. Social dominance, to my understanding, social dominance is something quite like you would understand a sociopath in real life, only a more polite, more evolved kind of sociopath, right? And it turns out that people who vote for politicians, who are really great fans of politicians, they have high indexes in this authoritarianism scale. He calls it the RWA scale because it's the right-wing authoritarian scale, not to be confused with the right-wingers in politics. Right-wing authoritarianism means that you support the current people in power. And left-wing authoritarianism is you don't support them, you hate them. It's the opposite. You want other guys who are not in power to be in power. And whoever scores highly in this scale contributes to the people who are social dominants, who are the people in power, the politicians, some bureaucrats. Most bureaucrats actually are WAs. And he makes this very, very interesting case with many examples as to why and how this is destroying society from the inside out. The belief that there's one or a bunch of people who actually have the power to do impose whatever they want on others, and the belief held by a great deal of people, we're talking about 40% of the population here, that whatever these assholes do is okay because these assholes are holy. The book goes into extremely excruciatingly interesting details about the people who are actually being tested and all the tests that they underwent and the results of the tests. And it's fascinating. Everybody should read this book. I was prepared to embrace anarcho-capitalism because I read this book and said, you know, it makes sense. You know, these people who are in power, they're all sociopaths. And all these people who support and worship the people who are in power, these are authoritarians. It's completely supported by science. It makes absolute sense. So that was what I wanted to share, and I really hope that you guys can crack open that book. It's a PDF. You can download it. You should really read it.
What's the name again, just to reiterate it?
The Authoritarians.
The Authoritarians. Yeah. Okay.
No, definitely. I'll love to have a good look at that. I guess afterwards, you can email me the name of the book and all that stuff.
I personally will, yeah.
No, I'm always kind of learning. I'm always, there's something new. I feel like there's not a lifetime enough in this world to read all the books, to do everything I want to do. You know, if you end statism, maybe we'll have an extension in our lifetime or whatnot to finally do everything we want to do. Maybe it'll finally get off this rock. That's cool. Definitely. That's cool. I guess we have like 10 minutes. I just want to say one thing really quickly about, just happened, I guess with a friend of mine. His name is Travis Maddox. He runs, Nature Trends. And, I guess just recently U.S. Customs and DA just seized his property pretty much. Well, he runs a business. His business is pretty much, selling, I guess, like, homemade stuff like deodorant, toothpaste, shirts, shampoos, a lot of this stuff coming from hemp seed oil. And I guess recently, I guess a few days ago, $750 worth of that stuff was stolen by the DEA and Customs. And again, this goes back to politics and people thinking, you know, oh, we just need to change the regulation and law. Maybe this is a way to help small businesses. But, you know, a lot of this stuff can't really wait. You know, a lot of this stuff is what's kind of, you know, I guess suffocating a lot of these communities out there. Suffocating small business owners from wanting to try to make it into this community. And then, of course, you know, that kind of stuff, of course, that wealth is kind of shared with other people, you know, jobs and stuff like that, you know, employees and for his family. You know, I always feel like the best way to, you know, financial freedom, you know, aside from working for someone, is to be your own boss. And this kind of happened to my friend recently. Just had a, I don't know, wanted to put it out there. If anybody wants to help him out, I guess legally, if any advice like that you can give him in regards to this, you know, I guess contact me on Facebook. I'll pass you his info and such. He put a little video out there on, so it's Nature Trends with a Z at the end, Trend with a Z. And
I know he has probably contacted some lawyer at this point, right?
Yeah, he said he has contacted somebody recently, I guess 2 days ago or such. Yeah, so I don't know. This is kind of new to me. But at the same time, but seeing that, I guess, like with politics, you know, all this time wasted every 4 years, people waiting for change, that all this stuff is going to end. You know, maybe if we vote back one law, maybe we vote back, you know, one little tax, you know, it's like, who cares? You know, that's not a measure of success to win one freedom and lose so many others. You know, so what if tomorrow we can smoke marijuana? You know, how long did that take? Like decades. That's not a measure of success to say that, you know, all right, you know, we're finally giving a little scraps of our freedoms here and there. So I don't know. It's kind of, I'm kind of done waiting for all that stuff. Kind of done waiting for, you know, for these elections and policy for someone that I've never met, you know, to do something for me. You know, I mean, we kind of have to start doing it ourselves.
You know, and I'm broadcasting obviously from California, the first place where the state law or medicinal marijuana was approved. I very much get the sense here that it's in the wrong paradigm. Even, you know, so like you're saying, even if something like that did get the okay from the federal government, it's still kind of, it's not a no strings attached thing. It's like, you know, a kid saying, you know, I want to go to bed later. I'll do my homework, you know, earlier. You have to make a concession, like, yo, well, let's have marijuana, but we'll pay taxes on it. You know, it's never,
right.
It's never really go be an adult.
Well, yeah, it's always asking for handouts or favors from the top down instead of demanding that they respect us as individuals and respect our own decisions and our sovereignty as individuals. It's always the wrong thing. It's like, if we just get angry enough, then maybe we'll get a bone tossed to us or something.
Right.
That's not it. I wanted to move on really, because we had a couple more questions.
Yeah.
We only have a few minutes left. So I wanted to ask one question that's been brewing. And we really wanted to hear this from you. In the, you know, future, assuming we manage to get voluntarism on some scale, you know, out there in the volunteerist world, what would you want to do? What is your ideal, you know, I guess, occupation? What would you want to do with yourself if, you know, the state gets out of the way?
So when the end of statism comes, right, and it's not so much the end of government, that's not going to kill statism. That's not going to end statism. Statism is a three-front attack against state violence, and the violence we do to each other, the violence we do to children. You know, that's where the soil of evil lurks. That's where the soil of statism grows. You know, spanking children, you know, teaching them that violence is a way to solve problems. You're never going to end statism by trying to, you know, vote government out. It'll just happen again somewhere else. It's mostly an idea. It's mostly the idea we have to get rid of, the idea that violence is a way to solve problems, personal and society problems. That's the idea we have to get rid of and eliminate. That's the only way we're ever going to be free. You know, it's, you know, trying to do it through jury notification and agorism, all this stuff is very important. All this stuff is understandable. A lot of this stuff can be used and applied. But, you know, we're not interested in cutting the weeds, right? We're not interested in starving the beast, right? We want to kill the beast. If you want to kill the beast, you kind of have to, you know, go at home and then that level too, and kind of change those ideas as well.
Yeah, just drop it entirely. Yeah, and what we're trying to do too, if is give you free rein too if you want to be creative. And I know this is kind of a hope. I mean, we have pockets of volunteerism and free behavior now, but you know, if you could envision just that, you know, and again, this is a stretch, right, but that society beyond the state, beyond violence being acceptable to solve problems, you know, what do you think would be what do you think that would be like? Would there be better, you know, transportation? I think personally, growing up in LA, it's always going to be my thing, knowing that traffic was always there, even how bad, you know, our education system was. But it can't be fun to kind of just think what the world would look like post the state. Like, what would be the best feature? What's the thing that like nags you the most and you would love to see the change?
It's going to happen real fast. It's going to happen so fast, the way that technology is doubling, the size of memory cards doubling. You know, we're reaching that kind of that peak eventually. You know, once you end the state, you know, all those regulations and all that stuff, you'll find everyone kind of will be free to, you know, to pursue their self-actualization, to pursue you know, their whatever science endeavors that they want to create. So for me, it's like, you know, that's the future I want to live in. You know, that's where I want to head towards. That's the direction I want to go.
Sounds like you're excited just to see kind of just what direction that takes us in. Just be interesting to see how people interact and you know what comes of it. And I think it's hard to predict even what would be the biggest change for the best.
I mean, for me, I personally just want to get off this rock. I want to travel, right? I mean, but there's so little we know about space. There's so little we know about what's out there. You know, we're still stuck here. We're still stuck in this Stone Age idea, you know, violence. We just got, you know, from people, you know, lying to us about it, you know, that we're misled now into thinking that, you know, that the only thing that's protecting you and me, my friend, you know, are laws, you know, that there's nothing founded on that. You just kind of have to let go and start forming that community, start forming your anarchy team, start going out there, start spreading this freedom. You know, the faster everyone can do this, you know, the faster we'll finally be free in our lifetime. You know, I don't want to be 80 years old still begging for my freedoms. I don't want my children to be born into Social Security cages. I want to be free. I want my freedoms back.
I agree. I don't want my children to be begging for anything. But you know what I would like right now? And I'm serious about this. I would like a helicopter taco. And I'm not joking. If we didn't have regulations that the state imposes on us, I could order a taco on the phone and somebody could dispatch a UAV to my house and deliver the taco. You know, transportation innovation, moving stuff around in a way that is really, really cheap and at the same time effective, right?
You hear that, Status? That's what you're giving up. You're giving up helicopter tacos.
If you really want to go,
it to yourself.
If you really want to go where no free man, woman, or child has ever gone before, and the state.
Yeah. So I have one question for you, and that's the final question. And this is the part that I've always cherished the most about the show, and it's very simple. You're in bizarro mode right now. So you have to make an argument, a persuasive argument, to preserve the state, to defend the state. You have to make an argument that goes contrary to everything you believe. Can you do that?
All right, so a lot of these arguments are fine that they're already irrational to begin with. And one thing I guess I was thinking earlier is like, how would you explain this to someone, property rights and such? How do you explain this to someone? Is, yeah, I agree, you know, they're property rights. I own everything. I own human beings. I own this land. I own the earth. I own the environment. All this belongs to me. You belong to me. Now, how do you argue against that? I guess I'd imagine it's, I guess the whole thing is like you can't, you know, rationalize with irrational people. And I feel like that's pretty much the same thing that happens when anyone brings up a status argument. But I guess me recently just thinking about that, it's like the kind of mindset someone would have to be to say that, you know, there is this thing of property rights, but property rights belongs to only one person, and that's me, and everything else that you see and touch and see belongs to me.
That really kind of sums up a lot of what people say.
Yeah.
I mean, they dress up in fancier words, but that's really the core of their argument.
Right.
You boil it down. Oh, I like the way you put that.
Because you're better going to say to me, it's like, you know, but does it violate the non-aggression principle? Like, no, because you belong to me. You know, I would do whatever I want. All of you belong to me. Everything you're touching, you know, your body belongs to me. You know, you're my property.
All right. Well, everyone, that Calamone, thanks for thanks for being on the show. It's been a great time, and looking forward to seeing more of your stuff in the future. Keep it up. And
absolutely. I'm heading to Libertopia this weekend, so if there's anybody out there, and I'd love to meet you guys out there in San Diego. I'm still couch surfing, still looking for a place to crash my stuff for a little bit. But yeah, check out liberatervia.com. There's a lot of stuff out there. Nature Trends for sure. Lend them your support. Yeah, and thank you so, so much for this opportunity. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely.
My pleasure, man.
Yeah, thank you very much.
By the way, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that, yeah, we have your contact, and I think we have some people that might be heading out to Libertopia, so that could be a good mingling.
Yeah. So if you ever come to the Bay Area and you need a ride, let me know.
Absolutely, absolutely. And same thing here in Richmond for anyone. You know, the Maplewood Anarchy Guard, you know, you guys are always welcome. Our doors are always open. You know, anyone who values the non-aggression principle, anyone who values the universal preferable behavior are welcome into our space as well.
Thank you very much.
Whether you're driving by or just, you know, a pit stop, you know.
Okay, so it's been super fun. Let's. It's about that time to say goodbye to our volunteerist cohorts before we move it on to the after show. It's about 2300 Eastern Standard Time for your military time pleasure. The sun has long since set over the West Coast now that winter is coming, and we welcome you to check out the archives and track our progress as we continue to spread the message on declinefm.com or Decline to State on iTunes. We are working on getting improved site design and content on the Decline FM website, so look forward to it. And if there's a topic you want to hear discussed on a show, please submit to r/declineestate on reddit.com. I would like to remind you that Decline Estate is still brought to you free of charge, as well as commercial free. And a big thanks to all of our hosts, tech experts, researchers, contributors, our listeners, and of course, Cal Molyneux, the other white Molyneux. Decline Estate is a group effort motivated by our love of liberty, as well as capitalist bow ties and free market monocles. And remember, when asked, always decline estate. This is Ron McPaul, welcoming anyone interested to jump in and chat with us a little bit later, right now. Bye, everybody.
This is Eternal. Have a great night.
Have a great night, guys. I'm going to have a great birthday on Saturday, but I will not forget you. Have a great night.